Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Did you ever know anybody that did not want to be happy? I've known a lot of people, but I don't think I've ever known anybody that didn't want to be happy. And the Bible teaches us how to be happy. Now, this should be a popular subject inasmuch as people generally strive to be happy. I think that nobody in their right mind likes to be unhappy. But many do not know what happiness is, nor do they know the recipe for finding happiness. When we speak of happiness, we're not talking about just being content. This is not the same as being lazy and unwilling to make improvements. It's not satisfaction with mediocrity. Happy people are a busy people. They're a working people. They're seeking betterment. But with patience, coping with the circumstances as they come, go without frustration and being disheveled in their lives. A happy person, he has a peace of mind, because he has a clear conscience, having done no wrong for which he expects retaliation, and he's doing his best in every situation. You see, he's free from anxiety and worry and dread. This makes him cheerful. He's optimistic. Now, this is not to say that he's boisterous, but he's friendly and agreeable. The happy person is sometimes gruff, and sometimes he snaps at others, but he doesn't walk about with a cloud over him all the time. You see, the basis for his happiness stems from his right relationship with God. He is more, as Jesus described in the Sermon on the Mount, when he used the word blessed. Now, blessedness is not determined by environment and the conditions around you, but conditions within your heart, conditions that are good because one is a child of God. Such a person looks forward to each day, and he lives his life fully. Now, people have sought happiness from so many different sources. They have made idols out of things, hoping that the pursuit of them will produce happiness. Some seek power over others and over things. Some want wealth and possessions, great and small. Some pursue pleasure and satisfaction of every lust, with riotous living, licentious behavior, having the so-called good time, involving themselves with drugs and alcohol and immorality. You see, they think that such as that is eventually going to bring them happiness. It grants to them, maybe, a temporary pleasure. But others may rely upon worldly accomplishments for their source of happiness. But those who have lived very long can see, and you know people who have such things and do such things, and they are still lacking in happiness. This is because those things are not the recipe to produce true happiness, which people can have and that God wants us to have. Now, the Bible tells us about a man who had all these things and who tried many different ways to find happiness. That man was Solomon. You see, Solomon had power as a king over Israel, reigning in a time of peace and prosperity, having inherited a strong and united kingdom from his father David. He had large armies and navies, thousands of horses and chariots and servants and swords and spears and all of that paraphernalia. Other nations paid tribute to into his treasury. The neighboring nation feared him, respected his power. Listen to what Solomon said. I have made me great works. I have built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees among all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. I also had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of the kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the songs of men, as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than they that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever my eyes desired I kept not from them. I withheld my heart from withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced at all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Now, friend, it would seem that with all of that, if such things as all of that would produce happiness, Solomon would have exceeded everyone in that happiness. But did this power satisfy him? Solomon said, "Then I looked on all the works of my hands that I had wrought, and all the labor that had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." Vexation means to annoy it and harass and disturb. You see, all of these things, his power, they did not bring him happiness, even though he had power immeasurable. And as noted, he had great wealth. This would be very appealing to many people in our materialistic and greedy age. So Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 10. You'll notice an array of passages that depict his wealth. Notice, "Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, overlaid it with the best gold, and all the kings of Solomon's drinking vessels were gold, and the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and peacocks. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars he made to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance." 1 Kings chapter 10. The queen of Sheba once heard about Solomon's wealth and desired to see it for herself. What was her reaction? She said to the king, "It is true report that I have heard of mine own land, of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. Behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame that I heard." 1 Kings chapter 10. But now, the question is, did all of this make Solomon happy? Listen to what he says. "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. He that loveth abundance with increase, this is also vanity." And he says, "The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep." Again he said, "As he came forth out of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind?" Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Friend, is this not a warning to those who would be rich? As Paul wrote, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Jesus once said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Mark 8 and verse 36. And again he said in Luke 12 and verse 15, "For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Solomon had all kind of pleasure. "And the delights of the sons of men I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the sun all the days of his life, enjoy pleasure. and behold, this is vanity. Ecclesiastes 2. Paul spoke of those who were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God in 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know, people have parties and banquets, all kind of musical entertainments, with wine and drunkenness and satisfactions of the flesh. They had that just like Solomon had it. Solomon proved that this was not the way to happiness, and yet people still try to go that way. They engage in lascivious dancing, adultery, drinking their liquors, attending gaudy and suggestive movies, following acts of entertainment that are lewd and rude and vulgar. Some pollute their bodies with things that harm them, make them what we call high, and hold a false promise of happiness. Some even overdo innocent activities seeking pleasure, until these activities become a hindrance to them. You can do this with hunting or fishing or games or other such things. All of that may have a temporary pleasure, but that does not bring the pleasure and the happiness that God wants us to have. You see, Solomon's conclusion was this: I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this was also a vexation of spirit. Solomon had wisdom. He had knowledge. He said, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. But that did not make him happy. One very interesting example of Solomon's wisdom was when he made a decision as to whose child belonged to what mother. And that text is so important, as we read in 1 Kings chapter 3. But Solomon knew that this was not the source of his happiness. I commune with my own heart, saying, I have come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all those that went before me in Jerusalem. What was it? It was vexation of spirit. Friend, happiness comes with our right relationship with God. And regardless of what the circumstances round about us might be, they may be dreadful in many ways, we can still have that peace and that happiness that the Prince of Peace has brought to us, because we can be in a right relationship with God. We can live our lives in a way that God is pleased with us. And when we come to the time that we lay our burdens down and we cross Jordan into the eternity, all will be well with our soul. Solomon's recipe for happiness was simply this. Let us hear it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, Solomon said. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Friend, isn't that very concise? Isn't that very plain? Isn't that very easily understood? Ecclesiastes 12 says, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And when God judges us, if we have followed the ways of God, there will be comfort. There will be peace, there will be joy, there will be happiness, there will be the blessedness. We can enjoy that here and now. And then at the time of judgment, we will know that all will be well with our soul. We read in Proverbs chapter 16, Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Happy is he that hath the Lord, hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose help is in the Lord his God. Psalm 146 and verse 5. Let's really strive to be truly happy, and that way is to serve God. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.